Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God will move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
Father God, we do thank you. We praise your holy name, Father, for what you have already done in this service, Father, and what you're doing in this body of believers, Father, as you're bringing us together in unity and harmony and in love, Father. Right now, Lord, it's time for us to hear your word.
Yes, Lord, speak, Lord.
We ask, Lord, that you speak, Father, for you need, or we need to hear from you, Father. Even, Lord, as we're doing this series of how to listen to God, we pray, Lord, that we will be able to listen to you, Father, during this sermon, Father. That devil will not use his cunning and try to get a communication through that is false.
All right.
That we might hear your voice and obey your word. We thank you, Father. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Wash us and cleanse us, Father. That we might be in right relationship with you, Father. That we might be in right fellowship with you. So that we can hear from you. So forgive us of what we've said, what we've done, sins of omission. Wow. And cleanse us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Wash and cleanse us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen and amen. We will continue in our year with God, as you're seeing on the screen. Again, we said that there are people that we want to be at level one, and if you're here today, you're at level one with a year with God, which means that I commit myself to be in the house of the Lord to hear the word. Level two is that I read the word before I come to the sanctuary.
Yeah, all right.
And that's why I printed out these newsletters. And if you don't have a newsletter, it gives all of my messages for this month along with the text. And we want you to read the text in context, which means we want you to read the whole text before you come. That's level two. Amen.
Amen.
Level three is we've gotten two additional books that we are reading through. This book by Richard Foster entitled A Year with God, Living Out the Spiritual Disciplines. Mm-hmm. And we want you to pick up this book and begin a daily devotion and a daily walk with God. And this month we are focusing on the spiritual discipline of meditation. This morning's reading had to do with day 72, knowing Jesus' voice. And he shared with John 10, 2 through 5, and 14 through 16, And the word basically says that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by name. And that's what this month is about, and that's what this series is about, is learning how to hear or listen to the voice of God.
Yeah.
So Bethlehem.
Live it out.
Okay, go ahead and switch forth. Okay. Amen. Keep pushing. Amen. We're going to go to our text this morning. We're going to share a message entitled Pondering the Impossible.
Right.
Pondering the Impossible. Would you please stand in the household of the Lord? Stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. Stand also symbolically saying that I reverence the Word of God.
Amen.
I reverence it so much. It's three slides, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 19, three slides. And we want you to read this on three at the same time. One, two, three.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company like the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left him and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had sung him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord today. We're going to share again a message entitled Pondering the Impossible. And we're going to see in the text this morning how Mary was amazed by the word and how she appreciated the word and how she analyzed the word as she was pondering the impossible. She was amazed by the word, she appreciated the word, and she analyzed the word. And our thesis this morning and really all throughout this month is that Christians should meditate on the Word of God.
All right.
Christians should meditate on the Word of God.
Amen.
And again, Foster's definition of meditating on the Word of God is not that you simply hear it, but you actually do it. Imagine he drew his inspiration on meditation from James, where James says to what? To be doers of the word and not hearers only. And that's what the word of God is. It's supposed to be a meditation of life. It's supposed to be where his word interacts with our lives and amazing things began to happen. Miraculous things began to happen when Christians began to actually meditate on the word of God.
All right. Yes, it does.
Because they began to be able to digest the word of God.
Well, thank you.
and it hits our system and it calls us to walk differently.
All right.
It causes us to talk differently.
Yes, sir.
It causes us to actually be a reflection of who Christ is.
All right,
it causes us to really become Christians, which means little Christ. So this morning, we're going to look at a message entitled Pondering the Impossible. The first thing we see is the amazement by the Word. Many times we don't hear the Christmas story, but at Christmas time. And I said, Lord, you want me to go back to this text right after Christmas? And he said, yes, I want you to go to this text right after Christmas. Oh, because I am like you. I said to my wife, I wish Christmas was all year round, because I love to see the bright lights. I love how people treat one another at Christmas time. I love that our house looks the best at Christmas time. And I said, I wish Christmas could be all year round. Guess what? God wants Christmas to be all year round. He wants Christmas in our hearts. Oh, and at Christmas time, the amazing thing that happens at Christmas time is that people who can't get along began to get along because of the season. Don't you know, church, that it is a new season here at Bethlehem? It's Christmas in January. It's Christmas in February. It's a new Christmas time because we are loving one another. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, it's a new season. It's a new time. It's Christmas time. All the time. In Jesus' name. We looked at the amazement here around this Christmas time. She was amazed by the word. And it says, and all who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. God had told Mary during this Christmas time. Oh, he told her and met with her and said that she would have a baby, and that baby would be Christ. That baby would be named Emmanuel. God is with us. Oh, and along the time that she gave birth, God spoke to the shepherds, and the shepherds came back, and they were amazed to see what God was doing, and they said, come, let us go and see what God has done. The angels said that Christ was born, and we want to go and see it for ourselves. Oh, so God had got the message out after he had told Mary. Oh, and that was a secret. Joseph at that time was left out of the loop, we learned during Christmas time. But now God is telling everybody about what's happening, and he tells the shepherds, and the shepherds go and see for themselves what God has done. And when the shepherds came and saw what God had done, it says, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. My question for you today, as you're supposed to meditate on the word of God, and when you meditate on the word of God and you start living for God, miraculous things began to happen. My question for you today is, when was the last time you were amazed by God? When was the last time that you saw God work and move in such an awesome and a mighty way that you began to be amazed by him? Somebody would say this morning, well, I was amazed by God at that song that was sung where God says that God's got a blessing with my name on it. That could have been the last time that you were amazed by God. But are you amazed at what God is doing in your life? Are you amazed at the transformation that God is making in your life? I look at my life and I'm amazed at some of the things that I used to do that I don't do anymore. Some of that stuff that held me down so easily entangled me. I'm amazed to see God at work in my life. So say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, are you amazed this morning as you think about the goodness of God? Lord. And if you're not amazed this morning as you think about the goodness of God and God at work in your life, then guess what? You may not be a doer of the word. You may not meditate on the word. Because when you meditate on the word, God says that success will come. Prosperity will come. When you do his word and you live it out, he begins to do amazing things in your life. I love this text about amazement in Ephesians 3:20, just in case somebody is wondering whether God is able to do something for you this morning, whether God is able to do the amazing in your life. Oh, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. For the God that we serve, he's able. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, he's able to amaze me. It says that he can do what we ask when we ask in prayer. Somebody came this morning with a burden that they were asking. God is saying, God's got a blessing. Put your name on it. Because you asked for it. Somebody, he wants to blow your mind because he says that he can do more than you think. Somebody came here this morning and you didn't think God could do it. You didn't think God could do amazing things in your life. You think because your mama didn't want you and your daddy didn't want you. And you never knew your daddy. You never knew your mother. You think about because of the tragedies that has happened in your life. Somehow God has forgotten you or God doesn't care about you. But God said and has sent me here this morning to let you know that he's about to amaze you in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, I want God to amaze me because he thinks better of me than I think of myself. I can remember my testimonies. I've come from some bad places, some horrible places. Had a low self-esteem. I never thought that God could do anything with me or that God could use me. I said that if I was rich with that low self-esteem, I'd be standing here today with a lighter color skin, a smaller nose, straighter hair, and be saying, I had that much low self-esteem, suicidal, because of the troubles that I've had in my life. And now I see how God has delivered me, and I look at my life and I see how he's using me, and I sit back in amazement of the goodness of the Lord. He has done great things, and he's not finished with me yet. Somebody here today, God is saying that I'm going to do with you more than you think of yourself. But what you've got to do is you've got to become fully committed to me. You've got to meditate on that word. When the devil tells you, when you look in the mirror, that you don't look good, you better meditate on the word and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When the devil tells you that your daddy didn't love you, your mama don't like you, you better look and let that word meditate in your heart and say that God created me in my mother's womb. No, before a daddy or a mama was ever thought of, God was in him. Jesus' name. It's true meditation on the word of God, because the devil wants to destroy you. He wants you to think that you are no godly good. But the devil is a lie. And God amaze you in the same way that he amazed Mary. He did the impossible in Mary's life. Oh, he didn't need the seed of man. Oh, they say, watch. Oh, a virgin can't give birth. But God said different. God said that he was about to do the impossible. So this morning, you better ponder the impossible because of the God that you serve. Are you in an impossible situation? God says that it's not impossible for me. In Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. It's not impossible for God. In Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise. He amazed Mary by the words that the shepherd said. Not only that, but Mary appreciated the word. For it says, but Mary treasured up all these things. Mary treasured up all these things. Have you ever had a treasure? Have you ever had a treasure?
Yeah.
How do you treat your treasure?
Oh, Lord.
How do you treat your treasure? You protect the treasure.
Right.
You guard the treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't let anything happen to the treasure. Some of y'all treasure your cars and you wash your car every week. You don't even let people eat in your car because you treasure it. Imagine if you treasured the word of God that same way. Imagine if you treasured, you wouldn't let anything get all up in your treasure. If you treasure the word of God, then that means you just won't listen just to anybody. Because the devil is great at sending people who look like men of God. And they tell you half truths. And you allow that to get into your spirit. And you don't treasure the word of God. And that's why some are depressed today, because they tell you that if God loves you and send them money, that then you'll be blessed. But the truth of the matter is that's half the truth. That's half the truth. Because Job was pleasing to God and lost everything. Lost everything. Somebody listen at the sound of my voice. Oh, you better treasure the word of God and know that even when you lose some things in your life, that it doesn't mean that God is angry or mad at you. As a matter of fact, it could mean that God is pleased with you.
All right.
Because he knows that in troubled times that you will not quit. Quitting is of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Especially if you're quitting anything that God tells you to do. Hello? What if Job would have quit? Like his wife quit and said, curse God and die. No, Job said, you must be a foolish woman.
All right.
Yes, to think I'm going to quit on the Lord. You must be foolish.
Right.
I don't care who don't like me. I don't care what they say about it. If God called me to it, he'll help me to it. In Jesus' name, don't quit. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, don't quit. Treasure up the word of God. If God, if he told you to do it, he told you to do it. You know, and again, the word of God meets with my life and the purpose of my life. They mix together to determine my purpose and God's plan for my life.
Amen.
That's the word of God. That's the appreciation of the word, because Mary was living the word. She was living it out. God was doing the amazing, the impossible. She was living it out and she treasured it up She treasured it up. She appreciated the word of God. You treasure up the word of God. And again, we talked about how you treat a treasure. It says, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy, or where thieves break in and steal it. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. The word and how God was working in her life. She appreciated. She didn't give up on it. She appreciated. She lived it out. It was in her heart. The word of God and how God works and moves in our lives. She put that treasure in her heart. And I'm a living witness this last week of how thieves can steal stuff. This last week, without me ever having to leave my house, thieves broke in our bank account and took everything. Charged some things in London. I'm at my house. I ain't ever been in London! I'm mad because I want to go to London. And stole everything! But you know what? In that time, I had to ponder the impossible and know that even though thieves had stole everything, that my God will supply all of my needs in Jesus' name. Because I know I give my money to the house of the Lord. Treasures I store up in heaven where thieves can't steal it. Oh, they took everything, but they didn't know that they can't take God. For my God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And when they stole it, I had to pray to that very same God. God, oh, we need to have a barbecue to take care of my needs. To take care of all of my needs. That's true meditation. Treasure it in your heart. Regardless of the circumstances. That's what the word says. And I appreciate the word, and I pondered the impossible, and I'm believing that I'm going to get double back for what the devil stole. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, treasure this, double back in Jesus' name. Can you believe and appreciate this word? It don't mean anything unless you're in the midst of a trial.
Yeah.
And you can meditate on what the word says. Amen. That's where you got to live it out. Even when the situation looks and seems impossible. I got a little mad because I had to go to the bank and fill out 6 pages of paperwork to get my money back that somebody else stole. For every wrong account. But again, I had to ponder the impossible. My real money is not even in the bank. But you've got to, in those times, ponder the impossible. That's why we go get to point number 3. Analyze the word. And it says, and ponder them in her heart. She pondered it in her heart. And you say, gee, a preacher, why do you use the word analyze for ponder? One of the greatest, I think, testimonies that I have been given in training my preachers is that they say, I have taught them to meditate on the word. And it has changed the way they preach.
All right.
It's changed the way that they have studied. Because many times we're taught to study and read theologians from last century. Now, some of that stuff is good, and what they said, they have some good insight. But my question to preachers and Christians is, what has God done for you in this word? has God done for you in this word? Find you in the word. And Mary analyzed the word. The angels told her it was going to happen. The shepherds came and said of the baby what the angel said of the baby. She was amazed by what was going on. She analyzed it. She appreciated it. She analyzed the word. She pondered what God was doing in her life. And she was living it out. She was living it out. Say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
This is the
year. I will live it out. In Jesus' name. Psalms 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart. See. And I might not sin against you.
Yeah.
I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Some of you will get your breakthrough this year if you learn to meditate on the word of God and you hide that word in your heart so that in troubled times that you will not sin against God. Most people who lose all of their money, the first place they want to go is to get a drink to escape the circumstance and use all this other stuff that we use to escape the situation and not deal with the situation. But if you hide the word in your heart, and when the devil comes to steal some things in your life and kill some things and to destroy some things in your life, you will not be triggered to sin against God, but you'll be triggered to meditate on the word of God so that you will not sin against God in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
That's how you analyze the word of God. Whatever you're going through, you have to know the text that says different than what the devil is trying to teach you. Whatever you say. If you're sick, you better meditate on that word that says that God is a balm in Gilead and that is there no physician there. You better meditate on that word. Whatever you're going through, financial issues and struggles, oh, you better learn to meditate on the word in that instant so that you might not sin against God. Can you right now ponder the impossible?
All right.
Because the devil right now is saying to somebody that it's impossible.
All right.
Don't you know the God that you serve?
Yeah.
The angel had to tell Mary in that story, is there anything too hard for God?
Yes, sir.
Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, is there anything too hard for God? Answer your own question.
No.
No! Say to your neighbor, neighbor, no! Say to your neighbor, neighbor, no! There's nothing impossible for God. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Deacons, will you come? Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, he had to ponder the impossible. For there had been nobody who had been risen from the dead without him calling them from the dead. He had to ponder the impossible in that garden. As he meditated and contemplated prayer in that garden, all eyes are closed and heads are bowed. Saints are praying, for this is time to respond to the word of God. Jesus was chosen to die for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
He came and he lived his life and did some great and impossible things. He healed some folk of incurable diseases.
Listen.
He fed some folk with not much resources. But that was not the most impossible thing that he had to do, for he was born to die for our sins. In order for that to happen, he had to be tried of crimes that he didn't commit. He had to be betrayed, and they said, crucify him. They put a crown of thorn on his head and whipped him, put a cross on his back and led him through the streets of Jerusalem. Led him to that hill called Golgotha and then nailed him to that very same cross. Raised him up between two thieves as if to say that he was like them. But he was not like them. He had to struggle on that cross, and eventually he had to give up his ghost because they couldn't take it away. He died for your sins and my sins. The Bible don't only say that he died, but the Bible says that he got up on the third day with all power in his hands. That is the gospel story, that Jesus died for your sins and my sins, was buried and raised again on the third day. And if you can believe that, then today you can be saved. And that's the way that we want you to respond. So if you want to get right with God and give your life to God right now, we want you to slip out of your seats with all eyes closed and heads bowed. Slip out of your seat and come forward. Respond to the love of God. God wants to do some impossible things in your life, and you can't do it on your own. You can't save yourself. Jesus has to save you from sin. If you pray that prayer, you will never baptize. The first step of obedience is baptism. So why don't you decide today to go ahead and be baptized? You may be here today and you don't have a church home, and you're hearing the voice of God. God is saying, come and join here at Bethlehem. The shepherds had to go and see the amazing thing that God was doing in Bethlehem. And I believe that right now God is doing some amazing things here at Bethlehem. Why don't you join today? Whatever your decision is, you may have a testimony about how God did the impossible in your life. And you just want to come and tell about the goodness of the Lord. Whatever your decision is right now, with all eyes closed and heads are bowed and saints are praying, whatever your decision is.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that will make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins, was buried, rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We would love to believe by faith that you've been born to the Household Faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, you're listening throughout the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby, and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Hello again. This is Pastor Michael E. Tom, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again, now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, a state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.